Welcome to It's the Human Experience Podcast, hosted by Hazel Brown, a healthcare leader, wife, mom, and career coach. If you're big on authenticity, personal development, perseverance, and transparency, you're in the right place. Join Hazel each week as she shares stories and drops some gems or talks to successful professionals and business owners who've agreed to share the parts of success that typically gets X'd out on social media, because that's the part you need to see and hear. The process.
The process.
Go ahead and subscribe. You don't want to miss out on these transparent stories and discussions that reveal highs, lows, aha moments, and nuggets that will help you to grow and glow.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for tuning in to the It's the Human Experience podcast. You are now tuned in to the It's the Human Experience podcast. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, please go ahead and do so. Just go ahead and scroll up to the top and hit follow or subscribe, depending on what podcast platform you're listening to us from. It really means a lot when you follow us or subscribe. It helps the algorithm get us in front of more people, because they know that people like the podcast. That's why they're subscribing and following. So go ahead and do that for me. And of course, if you're selfie ready, go ahead and take a selfie, tag us at It's the Human Experience on Instagram. That way we could visualize and see who's listening into the podcast. And the last thing I want to solicit from you is a comment. After you listen to the episode, please, please, please rate us. 5-star rating, please. Yes, let's go ahead and tell you what to rate. Listen, this is not patient experience. Like, I could tell you, leave us 5 stars like they do at the dealership, right? But separate from that, I really would love for you to provide a comment. I know some platforms doesn't have the comment feature, but some do. So if you're listening from Apple or Audible, please go ahead and leave a comment. It really helps us to understand what listeners like and what you want to see more of, so I can bring the right guests onto the podcast to be able to pour and add value to you. But no more of that. I want to go ahead and jump into the episode. Today, we have Kevin on. We're going to talk all things personal development, leveling up when it comes to self-awareness, and just really finding the next level, best version of yourself. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you so very much for having me. I appreciate the introduction. I am excited to talk about self-improvement, which is something, if you said that to me 6 years ago, I probably wouldn't believe. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll just go ahead and jump right in. The first question I have for you is, if you can define yourself in just 3 words, what would those 3 words be?
I would say consistent, humble. I guess you can only be so humble if you're going to define yourself as humble, but I try to be, and authentic. And I hope that comes out.
Nice. I love that. Cause like, for me, those things are so important. I'm still working on the consistency part as it relates to just authenticity. I'm very big on authenticity, because I feel like we get as far as we're supposed to go in life being our authentic self. Mm. And I feel like it's just so important that we remain humble. That's something that my mom has always taught me, that the humble cattle, I think it is, sucks the most milk. It's like a Jamaican saying, she would say. But essentially, just understanding that as we move up in life and you're kind of going through the motion, someone else is coming down, and it may be a turning point for you where you're down and someone else is up. And so it's just important to remember that it's just good to be good to other people.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And even to you're very welcome. Even to your point of consistency, self-improvement, we're always trying to be more consistent. I'm trying to be more consistent. I'm trying to be more authentic. I'm trying to be more humble. Self-improvement is a lifetime game. We get to play that game forever, luckily.
Yeah, absolutely. In order to see all of the benefit of what you're working on, you have to be consistent in whatever 100%. It is that you're doing. So I love it.
Yeah. My favorite quote, when you stop doing what got you to the dance, you don't get to dance anymore. I think about that all the time. I'm thinking about that all the time.
Yes, that's a great quote. Oh my goodness. Do you have any like defining songs, like, or things that you think about when it comes to sayings? So you shared a quote, but is there anything else that kind of keeps you going?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is, I don't know if you know the rapper Futuristic. He's a rapper. He has a song called Man on a Mission. And it's just about, it's kind of about starting from the bottom, starting from nowhere and working your way up and just staying on the mission and staying consistent. That's something I listen to very often in the gym. And I have a lot of different quotes and sayings that I say, but it really, for me, one of the favorite things that I have understood now that I didn't understand in the beginning is from day to day, progress is invisible. From year to year, progress is impossible to miss. That is something that I didn't understand until I had 6 years under my belt of doing what we're doing. I did a bunch of episodes yesterday. I'm doing a bunch of episodes today. I'm no better today than I was yesterday, really. And if I am, it's minuscule and unmeasurable. But if I go back and listen to the first 10 episodes, my goodness gracious, they are brutal. And I can definitely see a lot of progress. So that is a quote I try to live by.
Nice. I love it. And I think what you just said is so important in the sense that sometimes day to day with anything we're doing, mm-hmm. I think most people notice it more like when you're trying to lose weight or, you know, you're trying to get your first 10K month or whatever the case may be and anything that you're doing, you're in school. It just seems like so hard initially, but I think it's important that you point that out for business and truly anything in life that over time, that's when you're going to see the monumental changes. But when everything that we do day to day, that's what determines where we end up when we think about everything that you said, even with the dance piece of things. So I love that.
You don't want to see me dance. I'm happy to talk about it, but if we're dancing, that's just not it for me. You don't want to see that.
Listen, I can't dance either. I have to essentially have a shot in me in order for me to be able to do any kind of rhythm. Look,
understandable. No judgment from me.
It's sad for me though, because I'm Jamaican and people are like, you don't know how to dance? No,
I remember I used to work with a bunch of gentlemen that were from Jamaica and they had me try, coca bread and Jamaican beef patties.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm a huge fan. I've been missing out my whole life. Now I know.
Now, you know, So I want to talk next really about what took you on your journey to personal development?
Mostly pain. And I think I say that, and I think a lot of people, when I say that, they laugh because it is kind of a theme for most of us, right? There is some level of necessity that happens that forces us to look in the mirror and say, I don't know if I can continue living the way I've been living. So for me, if you looked at me in my mid-20s, I'm 33. If you looked at me in my mid-20s, you would see somebody who was in really good shape. I had just won a bodybuilding show, so I was in the best shape of my life. I had a high-paying job. My girlfriend was a model. I had a sports car. I had all the things that you could ever want, but I was very insecure. I was very uncertain. I was just living by accident, right? I wasn't very fulfilled. I didn't have a bright future. I didn't really know what I wanted out of life. My girlfriend ended up leaving me because I was a shell of myself, and it's very hard to pour into somebody else's cup when you are struggling to fill your own. When she left me, I convinced myself that money was the issue. So if I just make more money, I will have far less problems. We'll be good. So I grinded for a year, and at my job, what I was doing at the time required a lot of travel. So I basically spent 10 months living in hotels because.
So you grinded for a year. I'm sorry.
Oh no, you're good. So I grinded for a year, and the grind involved a lot of travel because my job at the time, we would work in a lot of other states. So I pretty much lived in a hotel for 10 months in order to make the amount of money I made. I ended up making six figures. And when I opened my final pay stub and saw that I made that money, I expected a bunch of different feelings than I received. And I remember thinking, interesting. For most of my life, I have lived unconsciously. The opposite of unconscious is hyperconscious. So I started a podcast called the Hyperconscious Podcast. And that was really me getting into self-improvement. That was the very beginning for me of, oh, I'm going to have conversations that go pretty deep with people who want to talk about deep stuff. I'm going to have to study self-improvement to hang in these conversations. That was the very beginning for me.
I love that. What year was that?
2017.
Nice. And I think that speaks to like the journey that it takes to get to where you have that level of self-awareness. Sometimes people look at you when you're talking about these topics and think that it happens overnight. And to your point, it starts off with something not feeling right, despite going on that track that society tells you you're supposed to go on. And you're like, wait, something about this path just doesn't sit right with me. I don't feel like it's authentic to who I am when we kind of speak about authenticity. And so you decide to just make a change and turn and understand that, wow, this feels better because it's more aligned with who I am. So I love that you shared that.
It's fulfilling. That was something I never understood what fulfillment was. It was a foreign concept to me. I could not imagine what that feeling was. And when I started podcasting, I remember thinking, interesting, this feels different. I feel like I'm adding value. I feel like what I'm doing is actually important. And I feel like I'm growing and contributing. And I think when we think about fulfillment, growth and contribution and purpose and mission and passion and in intentionality, a lot of those words get thrown around. And I think that was the first time in my life I was really starting to feel those things.
Yeah, I love that. I think that what you shared and just even your defining moment and what turned you to personal development is just so, so rich, because a lot of times what happens is that you've gone on the path for where they've said that you should go. And I know for me, what happened is that I had gone to college, gotten my degrees, gotten the big job, to your point of what you shared. So much resonates there. And I felt like, okay, why is it that this does not feel right, despite that society is looking at me like I've checked off the boxes and this is what's supposed to happen. And it's like, no, this is not enough. I need more. I need more. And more does not always mean more money. It doesn't mean a bigger circle. It doesn't mean more things. It's more in terms of feeling like you are in one with yourself and that level of fulfillment. I don't think enough people talk about it. Like, it just feels so good because you know that everything that you're doing is true to your being, is true to your soul. So whether it turns out right, wrong, or indifferent, you know you're on the track for you. And that's all that matters. Mm.
It's the interesting thing about fulfillment is when you start, and very well said, beautifully said, when you start doing what you feel you should be doing, you're already getting the result that you desire. Then eventually, maybe you get paid to do what you're doing or people start reaching out or whatever it is. And then you get an extra benefit on top of loving and feeling fulfilled based on what you're doing. And then it becomes a very interesting life where you get to do what you love every day and you get to pay the bills. And then it seems like, oh, I really wish I could do what you're doing. It's like, well, I was doing this for 4 years before anybody ever gave me money. I just loved it so much that I tried to. It's very interesting the way it's set up, because it's kind of set up the opposite of the way you'd expect. And I think that's why fulfillment is so rare, because it is such a journey to find it, to capture it, and then to replicate it.
Yeah. What you're essentially talking about is the faith without works is dead. So it's that blind movement to where you have the vision over your life. You know what it is that you're supposed to be doing, but you have to put so much work in to become that person. And so you're just blindly working towards what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And it's, to your point, 4 years, 10 years, 15 years. And then the way that it looks to society is like, oh my God, it's so shiny. It's so nice. Yeah. I want that. You can get it, but you got to work for it.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I try to talk about the stuff I try to talk about, because it would be very easy to forget. I mean, not yet, right? It hasn't been that long, but it would be very easy to forget what it was like not to be able to pay the bills and all that. And one of the quotes I always say is, I think a lot of humans, myself included, we look at somebody who is way ahead of us and we assume they have always been in the position that they're currently in. And we look at where we are today and we assume that where we are today is where we are forever. When in reality, they started in their own unique version of where we are today. And we can get to our own unique version of where they are. But it's very hard to have the time perspective that comes with that. There's a lot of people out there who are crushing it that aren't quote unquote better than you, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, when it comes to skills. They've just been doing it longer. 10 years is a heck of a head start. It's very hard to understand what 10 years of doing something every day can lead to. So I always try to throw that out there too, just because I've really been doing this every day for the last 6 years. That adds up. That's a lot of reps. That's a lot of reps. That's a lot of opportunities. That's a lot of lessons. And in 10 years from today, it's going to be a lot more reps. So that's kind of what lends itself to success.
Yeah, I think what you just talked about is how you built that muscle, right? It's a muscle. It's that consistency that you talked about at the beginning. It's So someone could be doing it off and on for 4 years, off and on for 10 years, and they're not going to get to the point where someone is who they've been disciplined to do it when they didn't feel like doing it, right? Yes. They've been disciplined to make sure that they get up and they're consistent in knowing that they're on track with their authentic self. So even when it doesn't feel good, you're still doing it. So I love that you talked about that grit and that muscle when you talk about putting in those reps. I think that's so important and it's key.
I appreciate it very much. I think that's fulfillment. Fulfillment is not doing what you want to do. It's doing what you know you will be grateful you did. Netflix doesn't, I love Netflix. So when I say Netflix, I'm not talking trash. I love a couple episodes of Netflix. I love it. But Netflix makes you feel happy because it gives you the good chemicals. It doesn't necessarily make you feel fulfilled because you're not going to be grateful you did it necessarily. Now, if you need R&R and you're burnt out, that's a different story. But I said this to my wife recently. I said, I know we say we're going to go for a walk on Sunday and we're both tired. We've both worked a lot. The last thing we want to do is go for a walk. We want to snug on the couch. But I do believe we will be more grateful and more fulfilled if we go do what we know we should do, not necessarily what we want to do in the moment. And I think that's another reason why fulfillment seems so hard to get, because it's hidden behind a lot of distractions and a lot of walls and a lot of voices that say, I don't know, why don't you go do this? Or why don't you go do this? It's a very hard thing to achieve because it's hidden.
Yeah, I think what you just talked about is really delayed gratification. Mm-hmm. It's realizing that, okay, what I have in front of me, I can grab it right now. But if I'm on track to accomplish X, Y, Z, then I can't stare off the road over there and think I'm still going to get to point A at the exact time that my GPS initially quoted me to get to. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to be a little later. Like, you expect that the GPS initially told you you're going to get there in 45 minutes, but you veered off and you went and watched Netflix. You've decided you're going to talk on the phone to your bestie. You're going to go ahead and go out to eat. And all those things are important. But you have to be mindful to understand that if that is the case, then you're going to have to change that end time. The GPS is going to now say 2 hours and 45 minutes. And if that's authentic to you, yes. To where filling your bucket looks like having more time with the people that matter the most to you and being able to relax to your point, you're burnt out, then mm-hmm. You have to be in one with yourself when you think about self-awareness to know where you are. You know what I mean? I think I said that before on a previous episode. Only you know what you're supposed to be doing. So I know if I've been just shooting the shits and not doing what it is I'm supposed to do, right? And so therefore, I need to get to where I need to be in 45 minutes. Or I know that I've been working nonstop for the last 2 months. And so I need to veer off and take a break. And so you have to be able to gauge yourself to know what direction to go. So I love that for you in terms of being able to say, hey, it seems nice for us to just go and relax for a little bit, but we have a goal in front of us. So let's focus on that goal. Then let's come back and relax, because within your gauge, you know where you need to be going, depending on how far you want to get to where you're going and what amount of time you want to get there. So I love that.
I thought I was the analogy one. You got a bunch of analogies, great, you know, visualizations. I'm all for it.
Yeah. I'm always coming up with these analogies. I'm like, where does it even come from?
I love it. I love it.
I have to tell myself, hey, so keep going. It came from somewhere.
I love it. So far, so good. They've all landed very well.
Awesome. Yeah. So you talked about just like your journey through personal development. Like, what were some low times for you in terms of limiting beliefs or just not knowing what direction you want to go in your life? Because I think many times we show like the end. We show how we've been able to evolve. We've shown all of the different great things in terms of what comes out of betting on ourselves. But to your point, it comes from times where we don't feel like we can or we should or whatever the case may be. And I want to talk a little bit about what that looked like for you.
The hardest part for me, just being transparent, was the lack of money. Being an entrepreneur, especially in the podcasting industry, and that's how you're trying to figure out how to make money. I mean, I was $35,000 in debt. My car broke. I couldn't afford to get my car fixed. My brakes were out. I couldn't pay rent. My girlfriend, my now wife, but girlfriend at the time, she had to pay rent. It was credit card roulette. Every time we went out, I was like, oh, let me see what I got. Maybe one of these will go through. That was the hardest thing for me because I didn't know how to make money. And this is a real, again, everything's set up in a weird way. The times I learned the most about money is when I had the least money. Because I had to learn in order to figure out how to make money. And then at least you start to understand the fundamentals and you can put them into practice. That was a really hard time for me. And I don't know. I'm somebody who does struggle with limiting beliefs. I don't often feel like I'm smart enough to be on a podcast, right? I've been on a lot of shows, and a lot of the conversations I have before is I really hope I don't get found out here. I hope I can actually hold my own. I hope I can. It still happens. I've probably done 2,000 episodes at this point. So the reason I say that is not, I don't want anybody to feel bad, or that's not it. It's because I don't want somebody to see me and think I have it all figured out, or I'm 10 out of 10 confident. I have just done this so many times where this is one of the places I'm more confident, but I still have moments where I get imposter syndrome. I still have moments where I don't know if I'm going to be able to add value. So if I'm being honest, I still deal with limiting beliefs. I don't know that I'll ever not have limiting beliefs, because I think being human, you're probably going to have some. I think the battle is, do you let them win or do you try to push beyond them? And I've been trying to push beyond them for the last 6 years, 7 years, whatever it's been. So I still deal with them. I still deal with the not enoughness, smart enough, good enough with numbers, math, business, whatever it is.
When I hear everything that you said, I think that it comes back to like that authenticity in terms of knowing that you're working within your own right. So that helps you when it comes to limiting beliefs. But because we're human, especially when we're humble and you're working on the journey of personal development, you understand that at no point are you going to master everything that you were put here to master. And if you've mastered it, and this is just my belief, then there's no need for you to continue another day. So if you're granted with the blessing of the present time, then there's something more for you to learn. So you never get confident in terms of feeling like I know it all, because you know that next test, that next task or whatever, it's going to be a beast. So there's no need in showing up and thinking I got it all figured out, because we shall see. So I love that.
Well, I think imposter syndrome, somebody said this to me recently. They said, do you think imposter syndrome ever goes away? And I say, yes, the second you stop growing. But if you're going to continue to grow, you're always pushing the outer boundaries. You're kind of always living on the edge of the cliff. I don't know. I don't know if I want it to go away. I don't know if that would be constructive for the life I'm trying to create. I don't know. These are the types of things that I'm thinking about. Maybe there's a life where I get everything I want and there's no imposter syndrome, but I wonder if it really truly exists, or is that a pipe dream that would sound really good for a movie? I don't know.
What you just said reminds me of the saying that if your dreams don't scare you, you're not dreaming big enough, because that's exactly what's happening, is that every day that you're dreaming and you're working towards evolving, you're a little nervous. You're like, okay, I've gotten this far up the mountain and I'm okay right here. But now you're telling me that actually this is all for you. And you're kind of like, ooh, okay, I could do this. And you're working in that next level and that next element, so that imposter syndrome is kicking in because you're working in an area that you're not as familiar with. Though you've definitely developed the skills to get you there, it's still kind of like, are those skills that I got that got me here going to help me to do well? Or does it require something new? And you don't know.
We hear a quote and we don't run the quote through our own belief system. So I used to be of the same mind where I think I had a thought that if my goals didn't scare me, they weren't big enough. And that's fair probably for me, because I probably had more belief in myself than the average person. I don't know. I tend not to think so. But I've worked with a lot of people who they set goals that are way too big. All I mean by that is they scare them so much that they don't even want to step up to the mountain. So I might offer a reframe of, make sure that the level of confidence you have and the level of fear you have in your goals is comparable. So at least you'll walk up to the mountain and look and say, you know what, maybe I can start the journey. Because a lot of us, we're afraid to start, understandably, especially if we don't believe we're ultimately going to be able to climb the mountain.
I'll probably put it in the show notes somewhere, but essentially it's like the staircase and talking about like that next step. A lot of times you just look at that end result instead of like those incremental steps that have to happen to where you can actually move towards getting to where you need to be. And a lot of people talk about it, all these self-development books, just how important it is to make sure that you are planning things out strategically in terms of what the daily habits look like to get you to that next level so that you can be able to do it, so that you don't shut down to your point to where you're like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do it, but you can. I even have a little thing. I just noticed it. Small steps every day, right?
I love it. I love it.
I just, that I is my background.
That is, that really is it. How do you take something that you think is going to take 5 years and then figure out what are the things I should be doing every day? And then to your point, you do them consistently. It's just that really is it. I know there's a lot of complication around success, but it really is figuring out what are the most important 5 to whatever, 20 things I should be doing and then do them consistently. I started tracking 5 habits a day when I started this in 2017. And now I track 28 or something. And it's those are the things that we have determined as a business that are the most important. And now at least I have a roadmap, going back to the GPS analogy, but I also get to decide whether or not I want to accomplish my goals. If you and I have a conversation of these are the 5 things you should do to grow your podcast, are we in agreement? And you say, yes, absolutely. And I say, oh, cool, I agree too. Then at least you have the decision of whether or not you want to do them. You know what they are. At least you know the path and the GPS is there. It's up to you on whether or not you want to drive the car. I think that's empowering. At least it's more empowering than not knowing where to start and where you're going to end up.
Initial starting at 5, moving towards your 8, but hit at least 28 of them. Like, what does your daily habits look like?
So today, we break it into health, wealth, and love, right? So in the simplest form, I want to be physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually healthier. So that's something I'm aiming for. I want to be the most wealthy version of myself in terms of making money, investing money correctly, and adding impact based on the amount of money we're making. And then love. I want to be the most deeply in love with myself and my wife and my family. So under health, I try to exercise for 30 minutes every day. I weigh myself every day. I track my calories. I try to get 8 hours of sleep, that type of stuff. Under wealth, I learn for 30 minutes every single day. That's a non-negotiable for me. I track our finances every single day. I make sure I'm touching base with a potential client every single day, 7 days a week. And then under love, my wife and I have this app that we use where it asks you a question every day and then each part of the relationship answers it and then you can have a deeper conversation. Every night before we go to bed, we play the gratitude game. So one thing she's grateful for about me and then vice versa. Those are the things that have really, really benefited me because when we think about life, you hear a lot of people say balance. You got to be balanced. I like the term juggling better because I'm juggling health. When I'm at the gym, there is no balance. I'm at the gym. I'm not really pouring into the podcast or the relationship. Now, are there ways to do that? Sure. But for the most part, I think we're all juggling health, wealth, and love. Problem is many of us, definitely myself included in the past, we let the same ball fall over and over. I was late for dinner again. I wasn't with my family again. I was on the road again. The love ball keeps dropping, right? Or business isn't great. I'm not making any calls. I'm not making any money. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Okay, the wealth thing isn't great right now. And the ball that falls the most often is usually the one we need the most work on. But I really do. I really look at it as a juggling act far more than a balance because you only have so much time. And you can only really do so much with the time you have in a given period of time. It's very hard to multitask. So I just consider it juggling.
Yeah, I love that. I hear people using even the term like harmonizing your life. And to your point of the life balance wheel, I love how you kind of categorize it into 3 to make it simplistic in your mind. I think sometimes when I look at the life balance wheel and I have versions that have diced it up even further, it overcomplicates things, right? So just putting it into 3 to say, I need to focus on wealth, I need to focus on health, and I need to focus on making sure that I'm having the love that I need in my life. I think that's so important. So I love how you did that. And I think what you touched on in terms of many times the area that you're ignoring or choosing not to show up for and letting that ball drop is the area, one, that you need the most, because that's going to be such a big portion of why you level up and get to that next level. I think there's a saying, something to the effect of the thing that you're avoiding is the thing that you need to get you to where you're trying to go. Mm. And it's so important.
It's very true. If what you wanted was what you needed, you would already have what you want. Right? You'd already have it. You'd already have what you want because, yeah. So I think a lot of us are dealing with that. And here's the interesting thing too. And we talked about this kind of in the beginning. Oftentimes it runs under the radar for a long period of time. So maybe you're not pouring into your relationship, but it doesn't change things immediately. Or it doesn't work that way. Usually it's kind of running. It's just trending. Is it trending up or is it trending down? Nothing really trends the same because the law of the universe, time, nothing stays the same because of time. Time changes things. So is it trending up or is it trending down? Well, if it's trending up, it might be trending up slowly so you don't see any results. If it's trending down, it might be trending down slowly so you don't see any detriments. Even in my self-improvement journey, it didn't happen overnight. The realization that I needed to kind of figure out my life, that happened over years. The whisper became a scream, and then the scream alerted me that something needed to change. So time is such an important facet for growth or lack thereof, for contrast or lack thereof, for results or lack thereof. And that's the one thing that we really can, we get no more of. And it's very hard to understand time.
Yeah. I'm so happy you shared that. I think for me, like where I'm at in my personal development journey is I'm always asking myself a question, like what's more important here, time or money? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of make a decision, okay, should I have someone that I hire to help me with this? Or is this something that I should be doing myself based on what I need to do? Because to your point about how short we have here, just in learning through my mom passing last year, I started realizing that I really need to look at the fact that we don't know the timing of our lives. And if we are so authentic in our journey and understanding that we're put here for a reason, then we have to make sure we're mapping out what that journey looks like and making good decisions in terms of, is this something that I should be doing so that I can learn to get me to that next level? Or is this something that I need to, you know, use Fiverr or use Instacart or use Amazon or whatever the case may be. And so you have to make those decisions in your daily routine because some things it doesn't require you to do. You can outsource it and someone else can help you with it. But there are some things that you can't outsource, like me going to the gym. I wish I could outsource that because I would. Listen, I would. Come do it.
Well, and you can't outsource this either, right? This is
right.
It's just you and me. Nobody else can do it for us.
You still have to show up for those things because it's your life. It's your dream.
Clarity is a superpower.
Yes.
Clarity is a superpower, especially when you practice clarity or you pair it with self-awareness. That it really is. It's a superpower.
Absolutely. I think that, so we're coming down to the end, and I did want to ask you before we close things out, just any key takeaways or anything you wanted to share with the listeners, just to kind of keep them grounded.
Today might be a bad day. It's probably not that big of a deal. Today might also be the best day of your life. It's also probably not a huge deal because life is going to kind of even out as it goes. So just that understanding. Today's the most important day of your life because it's today, but also in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not that important. If you can hold that duality, I think it's an interesting place to live.
Yeah, I think what you just touched on is like the importance of gratitude in conjunction with mindfulness. Mm. So you're present in knowing that today is happening and you need to show up in today, but at the same time, being thankful enough to understand in whether or not today was good or bad, you're going to get through it if it was bad. And if it's good, then hold on to these memories, enjoy this because this feeling will come again. Mm. And so it's really good to get into that space because when you think about like emotional resilience and just understanding everything that we're doing, it's going to come with the good, the bad, the indifferent. Being able to level up in those feelings and to have that grit to keep you going is so important.
Mm. You said next level. I love next level, grit, resilience, all the good stuff. But I think we harmonized it nicely with a lot of spiritual understandings and gratitude and all of that. Very well said.
Nice. And where can the listeners find you?
We have a podcast called Next Level University. So you've been plugging it the whole episode. It's on all the podcast platforms. It's on YouTube. We talk about level up your life, your love, your health, and your wealth. It's on 7 days a week. So we do an episode every single day. That's our goal, to be in your pocket, helping you get a little bit better every day.
Nice. I'm all about the next level.
I know. I know. It's clear. It's clear. You've been talking about it the whole time.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kevin. All the gems and your authenticity. I love it. I'm so happy that you were able to join the podcast today. And I look forward to hearing you and working with you in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the thoughtful conversation. I appreciate it.
Wait, where are you going? We're not done yet. I need you to scroll on up to the top and follow us or subscribe, depending on the platform that you're listening to us from. And then don't forget, leave a comment and rate us. It helps us to get in front of more people. That's what the ratings do. The comments help us to understand what value you found, so I know what kind of guests to bring on to fill your cup. Let's grow and glow together.
We hope you caught all those gems. So here for all of it. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a gem. Write a review so that we know to keep bringing you episodes like this. And check us out online at itsthehumanexperience.com to keep up with us. Keep growing and glowing. Catch you on the next episode.